encourage us to. I was actually thinking today, which I believe that's of the Lord, that we do need to really count our blessings. I was thinking about that hymn. Y'all know I like. And it doesn't just have to be me, by the way. I like sending y'all exhortations like almost every day. I don't send them every day, but I probably should, just like y'all should send me exhortations, I believe. But I was actually thinking this today, so I'm like, well, I should have. I should have sent y'all an exhortation to count your blessings and name them one by one. Been seeking to, I think the Lord laid on my heart a while back to go over just the books that I have on survival. You know, some may sound strange, but you know, some of my sons think they're already adults and that they need to leave the house. They're ready to go, you know, and so you're not going to leave this house until you're ready to live on your own. And so what do I need to do to live on my own, Dad? I'm like, oh, well, you need to learn how to survive.
Yeah.
So at a very basic level, you know, just surviving in this world is very important. One of the books I have on survival is actually, it's a U.S. Army military manual. And it just talks about, like, basically the foundations of it. That's what we're talking about first as far as, like, the psychology of it, of survival. But, you know, obviously there's spiritual correlations and lessons we can learn in that, you know, as far as like living in this world. I do like how it starts with the psychological basis first, because to me that's what biblical Christianity is all about. Like, it first starts with the heart and mind. There's a lot of worldviews out there and religions that would say that you just do it. Like, don't really think about it, just do it, you know. And I think there is an aspect of that within biblical Christianity. But primarily, the foundation is your mindset and your heart and where it's at. And everything should flow out of that. Your heart must be right. To some, maybe worldviews, it doesn't matter as long as you're doing what you're supposed to do. You know, like with Islam, maybe just check off all the boxes, you know. Even if you don't believe it in heart, just check off all the boxes. And as long as you're acting like a good Muslim, like, that's fine. And biblical Christianity, I think more than anything I've seen, it's like it flips all of that on its head. And it's like, nope, like, you might as well just stay home and just really seek out your heart and make sure everything's right between, you know, you and God, and make sure your heart's right before you do anything. That may sound hard to grasp if we've been brought up in a Pharisaical household. Undoubtedly, biblical Christianity can be twisted, and they can say, just do the right thing, you know, just come to church, and put on the game face or whatnot, and, you know, as long as you do that, you know, it's okay. It's like, no, get your heart right, you know, have the grace of God flowing through you so that you can, when you do what you do, you ensure that it's bathed in the grace of God. It's bathed in the righteousness of Christ and in his utmost goodness, that it just is dripping in everything that you're doing. If not, it's in vain. It truly is in vain. So from that basis, it basically was talking about like how one of the things we need is the will to live, right? I think it's very interesting when you look at like survival videos and things like that. They'll talk about self-awareness and being aware of or situational awareness and being aware of your surroundings or whatnot. And a lot of times they'll show somebody like this, like walking down a dark alley, and they'll be like this. And then like the bad guy comes up, you know, and he's like, give me your money, you know. And they're like, you know, it's like they weren't situationally aware. They were looking at their phone, you know, they weren't paying attention to what was around them. And it's like, you watch that and you kind of automatically think like, yeah, don't be that guy, right? Don't be that girl, right? It's like, do y'all do that? Like when you see this scenario and you see a person walking, it's like, somebody holds a knife or a gun to their, and then you're like, oh yeah, that's a bad idea. I don't want to walk down a dark alley looking at my phone, you know? But why not? What's the matter if somebody kills you? What's the matter? What does it matter if somebody holds you at gunpoint or takes a knife to your throat? What's the matter if you die?
Yes.
Right. Amen. I mean, we take it for granted that God has given us life and he has given us the desire to live in a sense. And that does tie in with eternal things, right? Like Jesus said, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it's more profitable for you to enter into heaven with one eye than enter into hell with two eyes. You know, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. Cast it from you. What does it profit a man, you know, if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul, you know? So that eternal basis has something that ties in even with our desire for temporal life on this earth, you know? As I was saying, we kind of take it for granted. Whenever we see something like that, we're like, oh, yeah, no, don't want to do that because I want to survive. Like for us men, we might say, I need to be there for my family. I need to take care of my wife and for my kids and all that. But it's like, for others, it's like, yeah, I need to be there. The ladies, well, not much the same thing. I might need to be there for my mom. I need to be there for my children. So I want to live, you know. But again, do we go back to the reason why it's important to live? Like, because, you know, you're made in the image of God and God put you here for a purpose and you have a reason. Like, in some way, what it was talking about, that people die in survival situations because a lot of times they give up hope, or they're faced with so much stress and so much trauma over and over and over again, and it angers them and it frustrates their goals and their purposes. So then they're finally like, I have no hope. What's the purpose of going on? You know? And it was basically saying, go back to the reason why you're here. Go back to the reason why you're alive, and knowing that there's a purpose for you. And of course, in that, you know, universal sense, it's basically saying whatever helps you to survive in that situation. However, for us, we have the truth, right? And so we know that there's a reason why God has us here, right? Like in everything that we do, like, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And that God, you know, our mission on this earth isn't done basically until God says so. Like, we ourselves don't want to check out. We don't want to tap out and say, I'm done, God. I'm through with this. You know what I mean? Like, I've tried so long. You know, people don't appreciate me. All that. And one of the things it said to do is to be value living and focus on the good things. Have like a positive mindset, right? And it's like, that's exactly what God's told us to do. Not to think on those things which are bad. Not to think on those things which are horrible in your life. Not to think on, we're not supposed to be thinking on those things. We're supposed to be actually, and that's what brought to my mind this hymn, Count Your Blessings. We're supposed to be counting our blessings, right? So, where did that go? Praise God. All right. So, I thought it was interesting. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So, I will say that recently, and I believe I read this to y'all last week when we looked at the verses that God's been speaking to us through, and Haggai, and I didn't make the point about Haggai, about when God said, consider your ways. Like, right, you're building your house, you're building your kingdom, and you're making sure everything about your life is beautified, but you're not concerned about my kingdom and my house, and you need to build my house. The reason your life is falling apart is because you're not putting first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But right in that same chapter, after he preaches that to them, it says that he stirs them up through the preaching of Haggai, you know, and so it's really amazing, but like, God uses his word to actually motivate us and to encourage us. So I'm sorry if I stole this from someone, but I would say one of the greatest blessings in my life is the Bible. Okay. It is so awesome how, if you are wondering, like, oh, I just need an encouragement from somebody else. I just need somebody to pray for me. I just need this. I just need things to turn around in my life. No, actually, you can make it through anything if you have the Word of God. God being right there to stir you up. and really provoke you like to his goodness, to his holiness, to his beauty, to his love for you, to all the things he's done for you. You know what? There's a book I have on. It's called On Spiritual Combat. It's written by Lieutenant Colonel Grossman. He wrote a famous book called On Combat, but he's a Christian. He's a professed Christian, so he wrote a book on spiritual combat. And in there, he talked about having a blessings chest. Do y'all have a blessings chest? It's kind of like a chest with blessings in it. Now, I don't have a physical one, but I put it on my phone with notes. So if you don't have a blessings chest, I would encourage you, have a blessings chest in which you put in there, you write down everything that God's done for you. And if you do have a problem remembering it, go back there. I can't tell you, there's been days I've been very discouraged, very sad. I went back there and it just brings tears in my eyes. Like all the good things God has done for me. And it's just some of the most simple things you don't really think about. Like one of the things I wrote down in there was when the first time my family was sitting at the dinner table with me eating, that I recognized. I was just like, wow, I have kids. This is awesome. And we're eating dinner together. This is amazing, you know. I wrote down also that time that I was led to go downtown open air preaching, and I was led to stand at a certain spot, and I remember I was thinking, there's nobody here, Lord. I don't know if I should preach. And God brought to mind this story I read about Spurgeon. He's talking about open air preaching, and he said that he saw this man in the middle of town and nobody was there. He said, I don't even think a dog was listening to him. And I said, that brother should just go home. Like, it's pointless what he's doing. And then he said, later on, I found out something that changed my mind about it. He said, there was this woman who the people of this church had been trying to reach. She was an atheist or whatnot. Nothing had availed. She was sick and she was dying. And the people said, can you go to her one last time? Ask this pastor to go to her one last time. And so the pastor went to her. And he said, finally, after a few days, and he said, hey, you know, I just wanted to come by and visit with you. And she said, well, sir, I thank you for sending the person you sent. And he was like, what are you talking about? And he said, well, the person you sent last week to preach to me. And he said, I didn't send anybody to preach to you. And she was like, no. There's this man that was below my window preaching, and it was making such a racket. I was sick of it. I told my maid, I said, go, shut that window. I don't want to hear this anymore. He shut the window, and he was so loud, I could still hear him. And as I was sitting there fuming in my bed, like, why won't this person shut up? I just said, maybe I should listen. And so I started listening to him, and I got a blessing. God saved my soul. And he said, I didn't send him. She said, well, God sent him, you know. And so that, what Spurgeon said was that was the same man he believed was sitting in the middle of town preaching and nobody was listening to him. So as I thought about that, as I'm standing there, I'm like, there's nobody here listening. Like, what am I doing? And then the Lord brought that story back to my mind. And I was like, okay, I'll just preach. And so I started preaching. And this truck, like, started slowing down behind me. And I was like, huh. Hey, there's people on the road that are actually listening to. They're actually slowing down to listen to me. This is great. So they kept driving, and then sure enough, they turned around the corner and came back. And I kind of saw them out of the glimpse of my eyes, like, praise God. And then I heard, shut up! And then something hit the back of me. It was coffee, right? But it was, okay, this was wintertime, all right? So this is my first blessing. It was warm. Praise God. And I don't know what kind of cream he had in there, but it smells so good. I was like, yeah, I'm sitting there preaching still. And across from me, I've preached in that location before. I've never seen this before. The garage door raises up. It's like, and I'm like, what's going on? I keep preaching. There's darkness. That's all I can see. And then this figure emerges from the darkness. It's this young woman. She comes out of the garage room, and she starts walking across the street, and then she's like, walks straight up to me. I'm like, what's going on here? She has this Avion. If y'all don't know, that's like rich people's water. And she's like, here. And I was like, well, thank you. Because she listened to me for a little bit, and I was like, I'll take this for consolation for the hot coffee that was just thrown at my back. And she said, do you come down here often? I said, no, only when I have appointments. And she said, appointments? I'm like, yep, I obviously had an appointment with you. I just didn't know it yet. You know? She said, I was up there on the fifth floor, and I was listening to you, and I decided I'd just come down and talk to you. Is that not awesome? I didn't know anybody was listening to me. So, praise God. But God told me to preach, right? Anyway, even though nobody was listening. Even if somebody was angry and threw hot coffee at me. So, that's another blessing that I put in my blessing chest. So, even though y'all might be caught off guard a little bit, like what, please, tell us a blessing of yours. Yes. Praise God. What is your baby's name?
That one, her name is Blaine.
Blaine?
Blaine.
Blaine.
Yeah, we buried her on top of Red over there in the cemetery. Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Till you meet again. This is Brother Jake mentioned. I mean, I'm quote unquote conservative. I'm involved in conservative things. I've been pretty heavily involved in a sense politically. Don't know how effective I've been. I would say that like one friend, somewhat of a loose friend of mine who's very accomplished in like political training, I definitely share his sentiment when he said, when people ask him, who do you work for? He said, I work both for and against the Republicans. I'm like, yep, absolutely. That's what I feel like. So, but like in that, I will say I really appreciated watching Charlie Kirk, you know, but I wouldn't say a big, great Charlie Kirk fan. And I would say there's some things I think like on abortion, but I saw he changed his mind on that. I really didn't agree with him on. But I don't know how to explain it. I was very heartbroken to hear, like really just on the verge of tears, just hearing that, you know, he got murdered, and, you know, to consider that he has a wife, you know, and two children, a 4-year-old daughter, I believe, and a 2-year-old son. You know, it's very sad to hear, you know, and
he was just in his
30s. He was 31, I believe. Mm-hmm. I mean, and just to see, I mean, somebody that's involved like that, I give them a lot of grace. I've been, you know, some of those people are very active on X or Twitter, and I've seen a lot of people reposting his other tweets or whatnot, and it's greatly encouraging, you know, some of the things he said, like those who have Christ or whatnot, like never die, and things like that. I definitely say he seemed to have a pretty strong testimony, and as far as giving grace and mercy, it's just like somebody's like thrust into the spotlight or puts himself in the spotlight that early. And like, you know, it seemed like his conversion, I don't know exactly when it was, but, you know, for him to have as solid as like an understanding that he did, even though he, you know, had some things messed up, it's like it was pretty encouraging as far as like, you know, just not necessarily an acceptance, so to speak of all the, like everything that calls itself Christian, but like, you know, definitely sought to preach the gospel in places, which was encouraging. That's something you didn't see amongst like Republican mouthpieces, so to speak. They might say, oh, I'm a Christian, you know, they'll say that. But I've seen him actually at some of those college events when people start asking him questions about certain things. Well, I think you need to be saved. Like, I think that's how he responded to him and said, you need to repent and believe the gospel. I think that's your problem, you know. I was like, wow, this is astonishing. You don't hear this from, like, Candace Owens or, you know, other people like Matt Walsh or whatnot. Who's the other fellow? It doesn't matter. But, Michael Knowles. They're all Roman Catholics, but, you know, he's definitely... I know some people are calling him a martyr. I will say it is interesting to be murdered for the doctrine, the biblical doctrine, I think, that he held to, because what he probably had enemies about more than anything was the whole trans type of thing. And so that's probably where he had his biggest enemies, going up against the quote-unquote LGBTQ mafia, which... You know, so that's you know, undoubtedly it ties into the gospel, and that Christ died for that. He died for that sin, that wickedness, and he rose again from the dead to save us from things like that. But, you know, I guess time will tell me, eternity will tell how much, you know, like he truly did, that if that's what he died, you know, for, if that's why he was murdered. But either way, I actually thought it would be... Don't know exactly what's going on with our country, but anybody that dies, it's truly sad. But obviously, he was used very, very strongly. So I guess we could count the blessing, you know. Again, going back to that idea of survival, like, I saw some of those comments as well, is that, like, you know, when people enter in a situation where people die, and I've experienced this in the military, you know, your friends die, and you go through this whole, like, gamut of emotions, like, and one of them is survivor's guilt, you know, so you're like, why did he die and I lived, you know, and so if anything, you can't stay there, right? You have to say, he died, especially if it's somebody who died for a purpose, like, a great and noble purpose, like Charlie Kirk's, like, we need to take the baton, we need to continue to fight for the truth, you know, and stand up, whether we do lose our lives, you know. I think it was like Napoleon Bonaparte that was talking about all these dictators and everything that, you know, got all their success through all their armies and through all the death and everything that they caused and the tyranny that they enacted on people. But he basically said, but Jesus Christ to this moment has his millions and billions of people that would die for him this moment. And he did none of that, you know. So it is really astonishing, you know, when you see that some people who claim the name of Christ have sought to spread the name of Christ by the sword, you know, Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox and whatnot. But true biblical Christianity, as I was led to say before, is we do spread our religion by a sword. Make no doubt about it. We do spread our religion by a sword, but it's a spiritual sword. It's not a physical one. And so... Hopefully, I definitely agree with having the polemical, as you say, going on the attack against false doctrine attitude that some, like Charlie Kirk had, and I do believe we need to do that, and we don't need to shrink back, and we need to stand for the truth, you know, come what may. So, yeah, thankful for the blessing that he was, and just pray for his wife and pray for his family. I'm sure it's astonishing to come, you know, home or just have that news brought to you, you know. Your husband was just murdered in broad daylight in public and very violently, you know. So, any other, I know that's kind of heavy to mention, but any other blessings came to mind y'all would like to mention? I mean, if it helps, it says, are you burdened with the load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? You know, count your many blessings and the doubt will fly. And you will be singing as the days go by. Have any of y'all ever gone through a real hard time and then you just ended up singing? In it or at the end of it? Go ahead, sister.
I was just listening to Psalms this afternoon because I'm not feeling the greatest. And it says, why art thou cast down on the Lord? You know, I think about that. It's like, well, why art thou cast down on the Lord? Why art thou, you know?
Disquieted within me.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. And even when, you know, you're not exactly singing the Word of God, like verbatim, you know, like how many times have y'all ever come to church and just felt like really, really out of it and discouraged, and then they started singing? And have you ever like, I don't know about you, but with me, I start smacking myself basically internally because I'm like, I don't mean this, you know? I'm singing this, but I don't mean it. I'm just going along with the program, so to speak. And so I repent, you know, like right then and there, and then start singing. And then it like encourages me and it lifts my soul, you know? So praise God for the blessing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Amen. Y'all found them a blessing as well. Yes, Brother Kyle. Amen. And I can't tell you how many times, especially when I was a chaplain, you know, just at a hospital and talking to people recently that had gone through a lot of things and really, really sad things, you know, and just to being able to say, it is well with my soul, you know, it is well with my soul. And I frequently bring up the story of that, if you know, Horatio Spafford. Said first great tragedy. Back in those days, they may not have had insurance. So he was an accomplished lawyer, had many properties in Chicago, and they all burned down, basically, if not most of them, in the Chicago fire. And so he lost all of that. And then he was on a vacation trip to England, I believe. And back in those days, they would separate just in case there was a catastrophe. So he went overseas first, and then his wife and his three daughters followed. And there was a wreck in the middle of the night, and it was like, I guess, a foggy night or whatnot, to where the visibility is very low, and almost split the ship that his wife and his daughters were on almost in half. And his wife was rescued, and she made it back home. And from New York, she sent a telegram and said, just two words, saved alone. And so his daughters died. I understand they didn't even recover his daughters. So when he was going back overseas, to the captain of the ship basically told him, they knew the coordinates, and they said, this is the area where your daughters like went down. And they say that the story is that he wrote that hymn at that spot. Yeah. Does it bring new meaning to the first verse? When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Praise God. I used to think that may have been the only motivation for that, but I've came across it. And speaking again of the Bible, how the Bible inspired a lot of these hymns that we sing. You know, I was later reading about the Shunammite woman, you know, who didn't have a son, and Elisha prayed for her, and she had a son, and then her son dies, okay? And so she tells her servant, saddle the ass, to ride, never know so softly, unless I tell you to. Basically, she says, ride hard, unless I tell you slow down. And so they're riding hard, and then Elisha's sitting there with his servant Gehazi, and he's like, that looks like that. He sees her far off. He's like, that looks like the Shunammite woman. Like, go and see if everything's well with her. And Gehazi goes and says, is everything okay? Like, is everything well? And her response was, it is well. Isn't that astonishing? Her son was dead. That's the whole reason she was grief-stricken and going to the prophet. And when Gehazi goes and asks her, is everything okay? She's like, it is well. Praise God.
Why would she respond that way when her son just passed?
I'm sorry?
I think she was going to see the prophet for a reason, so maybe she had a promise or a hope within her.
Amen. And I think that's how, as that hymn progresses, that's what it teaches us too. You know, Christ is coming back. He's going to right all wrongs. You know, that he's going to give us, you know, take away these tabernacles that are falling apart. You know, give us perfect bodies, you know, that when no more death, no more suffering, no more pain. And so even in the midst of great, great sorrow and tragedy in our lives, you know, somebody can say, how you doing? You know, and I pray for you. Especially maybe somebody that doesn't know the Lord, doesn't understand the things of the Word of God and what faith and hope He's given us. And we respond, it is well with me. It's well with my soul. You're like, what? How can you say that? That's basically, I think, what you're saying about the Shunammite. Well, how could she say that? The whole reason she was going to Elisha was to tell, you gave me this son, now he's dead. Like, what's the deal here? But ultimately, she's like, it is well. It just reminds me of Abraham, and I think he did say that by faith when Isaac asked him, where is the sacrifice? You know, he's about to sacrifice his son. And he says, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham responds, the Lord shall provide a sacrifice. So it is well. All right. When you look at others with their lands and gold, thank what Christ has promised you, his wealth untold. Count the many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven or your home on high. Praise God. So any blessings about or praises or whatnot or thanksgivings for those things that money cannot buy. I know in a sense we're going back to the Word of God, and we should, but think about that. When was the last time you thought about the blessings that God's given you that money cannot buy? Can I hear some? Yes.
Salvation,
praise God. Man, have you been praying friends in your church? Yep, I will let y'all in on a secret. And you'll know by what I'm about to say in the manner in which I'm saying this. But Sister Teresa did not pay me to be here. Nor did I pay her to be here. Praise God. You know, I was thinking about this recently about like retirement and whatnot. You know how, you know, if you haven't saved up for retirement, like, are you in trouble?
No.
Per se. Why not?
Because you can be frugal with what you have.
Amen. You can be frugal with what you have. I'm sorry.
The verse that he was.
Oh, in Psalms, yeah. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, neither is seed begging bread in the streets. Joshua, you're going to be begging for some mercy, though, if you don't get in here. Yep. No, what I mean is that you're going to get punished, Joshua. So I was just thinking about that picture I saw at a family member's house. Like, God, give me the grace to endure my blessings. Talking about the children, you know. They are a blessing, but quite challenging. A heart full and a handful, as one friend put it. But anything else money cannot buy? More specifically, maybe not generally, maybe the blessings that salvation brings. What? Yes.
Family.
Family, amen. Yes.
Hope.
Amen.
Yeah, you know we can't do it on our own, give it to him.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Joy.
That's right. That's a blessing, right? Joy.
Yes, it is.
Anything else along those lines? Yes, Brother Jake. Amen. You know, this comes up. Oh, sister. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like how I was just saying my story before, how God just, through all that, he gave me peace
Right. Amen. Peace. That's actually something where I go to get my hair cut. I run into a lot of barbers who have had like drug problems. I don't know if it's just that the owner of the shop had drug problems and they kind of attracted to him because he professed to be a Christian and God's brought him through it. Although he's been going through a rough time lately, I believe. But I've had a lot of them, you know, and they talk about I'm in rehab or whatnot, or I'm this and that. And you know, when I start talking about how God gives us his spirit and that he gives us love, joy, and peace, you know, and I said something that nothing on this earth can give you, no substance, no alcohol. And without fail, every single one of them say, oh, yeah, yeah. There's nothing on this earth that can give you love and joy and peace that lasts forever. Like, and so that's what God has given us. What a blessing. Praise God. Have you counted those blessings? And I guess when I think about being retired and saving up money for the future, in some sense, like we may seem like fools to the world, but if you have your salvation secure, like you've already secured the greatest retirement plan that anyone on this earth could ever secure. Like, yeah, it's almost like you can rest at ease. It's okay. Like, what if I don't have a house? What if I don't have a place to sleep? Hey, welcome to, you have good company in the Lord Jesus. He left the riches of heaven, right? And he said the birds of the air have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Even if we don't have any of those things, is if we can live in the heart and the mind, and hopefully the Lord Jesus is living his life through us, so we experience his faith and his trust in the Father, that yes, we have riches untold, you know. So even sometimes I think that way when I think about the Bill Gates and people like that, or the Jeff Bezos, or the Elon Musk, and I'm like, when I think about their money and their wealth, I think of the bad things that they're spending it on, you know, like, and the bad influence they have on society from like all the million. And that's kind of how I get disheartened. But it's like, again, like that doesn't matter, Like that really doesn't matter. Like their riches and all that is not going to profit them anything on the day of judgment. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Praise God. Do lost people have angels that help them out? Maybe, but do they have them in the degree that we do? Like God says, he sends his angels as ministers to help us. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. And let's not forget that angels basically means a minister. So each one of us can be angels to each other, you know. Praise God. We can each minister to one another and be a blessing to each other, right, to help us to our journey's end. Amen. I was just reminded. There's another blessing, too. I hope this woman broke down in front of me in Bloomington, and I know people were honking their horn at her, and I was about to leave, and I was like, and she looks like she just broke down. And so people were just driving around her, so I was like, hey, do you need some help? And I got out, and I pushed her van. That is one thing I've learned, by the way. And I was actually provoked this by witnessing to a lost person one time. They were like, every time I see somebody broken down, I go and I help them. I go and try to push their car for them or something like that. I don't know if any Christians helping them. They just drive right past them. I'm like, okay, you're not going to outdo me on this. Right? So I was like, okay, so I got out and started helping. But I was thinking, like, a lot of times you're like, well, if it's just me pushing a van, like, I can't push a van by myself. And so I did learn when I did that, like, people just jump out of their cars and start helping. After you start moving, people will jump out and start helping you. So even if you're a small little lady, I guarantee you, Brother Kyle, Brother Jake, if you drove by somebody, you saw a little one of sisters, like the size of some of these sisters pushing that car by themselves, would you stop?
Amen. Yeah, they would.
It's kind of like a joke or a meme I saw recently where they said, if you really want to see your or you have a good husband or whatnot. I don't know. So much stuff is fake on the internet, but basically these wives were like recording their husbands, and they were like they were doing this on purpose, but they walked past them with a ladder and some tools. You seen that? Their husbands are like sitting on the couch and stuff, and they're like some of them look genuine. Like this one guy's like, he looks back and he sees his wife, and he's like, goes back to his phone, and then he's like, he puts his phone down, and I start going after her. You know, it's like, all of them are like getting up, like, what are you doing? Like, that's my job, you know? Like, what are you doing? That's what I was thinking of. She said that their fuel pump broke, her husband thinks, and she said that we don't have any money to afford one. She broke down right by an AutoZone. And so I was like, what maker this or this? So I went in there, it was like $50. I got it, I brought it out, I gave it to her. She's like, oh, are you an angel? And so there's this, like, her rearview mirror has that metal, like, bracket on it, and it's popped off and it's hanging, like, by the arm of the rearview mirror. When I handed her the fuel pump, I lowered my hand and I caught my thumb on that metal. It sliced my thumb wide open. And she was like saying, she didn't notice it. She's like, oh, are you an angel? And I was like, and I had blood like running down my hand. I said, I don't think angels bleed. You know? But still, you know, actually in the Bible it uses that interchangeably. I think it calls John the Baptist an angel. So praise God. God does send us these supernatural angels that can help us in ways we cannot, but he also, would to God that we desire to be quote-unquote angels to people. And count that as a blessing, praise God. Amen. Are there any prayer requests as well? I had a little exhortation, but that went a while, praise God. It's good to bless the Lord, yes.